May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Although it's difficult to believe that the year has passed so quickly, we find ourselves today in the middle of October, the month in which each of us is asked to give prayerful consideration to how we'll support our St. John's community in the coming year. In his recent stewardship letter, Father Fred said two things that prompted me to reflect on my own and our collective stewardship. The first was that the treasures of St. John's are her people. The people of St. John's clearly know that we are stewards of God's creation and that we are called to give of our time, talent, and treasure for the spread of the kingdom of God. The second was that stewardship involves so much more than the giving of our money. And indeed, it does. Just think about the kind of community that we would be if all any of us did was write a check. I suspect that the chancel would not look nearly as good as it does if we clergy had to change the paraments according to the day and season, make sure the linens were bleached and starched, and arrange the altar flowers. There would be no vestry to help lead and manage the parish, no ushers to hand out service booklets. Sunday school would be a sad affair. More importantly, homebound parishioners wouldn't receive Eucharistic visits. Daily evening prayer wouldn't be offered. There'd be no faithful friends to send cards to the sick and bereaved. St. John's wouldn't supply volunteers for Faith Cafe or Love Inc. or the Cornerstone Kids Christmas Party. We could hardly even call ourselves Christians. We certainly could not claim to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world. We would be doing very little to spread the kingdom of God. So yes, the giving of our time and talent is absolutely essential to our ability to function as a Christian community. But our treasure is important too. Without financial support, there'd be no foundation for our ministries, no place for the community to gather, and no one to guide our individual and collective spiritual development. Provide us with pastoral leadership, and make sure that the roof gets fixed, the AC is working, the services are streamed out to those who join us from home, and the lights stay on. And of course, no donuts and coffee. So that brings us to the basic question we all have to think about during Stewardship Month. How much of my income and wealth will I give to support the mission and ministry of God's people at St. John's this year? The issue of stewardship and financial support for the church inevitably involves some discussion of tithing. Father Fred talked about this in his letter and in his sermon last week. There's a publication called An Episcopal Dictionary of the Church that contains definitions of a lot of churchy terms that we often use, sometimes without really knowing what we're talking about. The editors define a tithe like this: a tenth of a person's income, usually mandated for sacred purposes. Tithing was a practice in ancient Israel. The first reference to a tithe in the Old Testament is the one that Abraham vows to the priest king Melchizedek in Genesis. Also in Genesis, Jacob promised a tithe to God after his dream at Bethel. Various laws concerning the tithe appear in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. The laws differ somewhat in terms of the content of the tithe, which could be produce, animals, or money, the recipients, priests, Levites, needy people, the king, and its precise use. While not criticizing the tithe as such, the prophet Amos criticizes those who pay tithes but do not exercise justice, a sentiment which Jesus himself shared in Matthew's gospel. Brother Randy Horton, an Episcopal monk, wrote somewhat critically about tithing in contemporary Christian life. Tithing, he wrote, is an Old Testament notion that came from the time when there was no separation between church and state, and what social services there were had to be provided by a combination of the generosity of individuals and what was provided by the Jewish temple. He pointed out that the biblical tithe also included non-monetary wealth like grain and wine and oil. We've all heard of the first fruits, originally a celebration where a person offers their first harvest to God. The idea is that we don't give God what's left over after everything else has been allocated, but that we make our offering to God first. But here's what I think is important to understand. What we give to the church doesn't equate to what we give to God. God and the church are not necessarily synonymous. Nicholas and I, in our retirement, are fortunate to be able to give away quite a bit more than a tithe of our income. And we distribute our giving among programs and institutions across our community that reflect our passions. Not just St. John's, but the wider Christian community, as well as religious and secular charities and nonprofit organizations that we believe are doing God's work in serving the least of these, as Jesus commanded. But giving to St. John's is certainly one of our priorities and something we think carefully about each year, because our lives have been deeply enriched by our time here. Speaking for myself, I am standing in this pulpit today as an ordained person because of what God has done for me in and through this Christian community of St. John's. I could simply not have imagined, since I walked through that door in 1990, how fundamentally I would be changed by my experiences here in the years that would follow. How we all ask ourselves the question about our stewardship response is also important. Instead of asking ourselves, how much of my wealth should I give to God? Perhaps we should ask a better question. How much of the personal wealth over which I am but steward can I morally justify keeping for myself? The first question is based on the assumption that we ourselves are responsible for making the wealth we've been given, that it belongs to us. However, the second question is based on the assumption that God created everything that is, including our wealth, and we are but stewards of it. In our Rite One Eucharistic prayer, the celebrant says, "Here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and bodies." The celebrant does not say, "Here we offer and present unto thee 10% of ourselves, our souls, and bodies." That's because we do not owe God 10% of anything. We owe God 100% always. A few minutes ago, I read you a definition of tithing that included the example of Abraham pledging a tithe to the priest King Melchizedek in Genesis. This is the mysterious Melchizedek's only appearance in Scripture. He meets Abraham, offers him bread and wine, blesses him, and is not heard from again. But in today's reading from the letter to the Hebrews, Jesus is quoted as being called by God a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The writer sees Melchizedek as somehow pointing to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't refer to himself as a priest, high or otherwise, but then Jesus doesn't show much interest in organized religion at all. Rather, he calls on people to privilege relationships over rules and solidarity over status. When the Zebedee brothers in this week's gospel reading ask to sit on his right and left hand in glory, he shoots them down promptly. Glory in the kingdom of God does not look like glory in the world as we know it. It's all about humility, service, and love. And Jesus, as high priest, offered and presented to God the sacrifice of himself. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Anything we might decide to sacrifice to God is nothing in comparison. But sacrificial giving is what we are called to. We give not from duty or obligation, but out of gratitude and thanksgiving for what God has done for us. As Father Fred reminded us last week, the Christian life is a giving life. So as you prayerfully consider what you will give this year to continue the work of God in this place called St. John's, don't give because I give. Don't give because your neighbor gives. Don't give because Father Fred asks you to. Give out of gratitude for what God has done and continues to do for you and those you love here in this community. And don't worry if you can't tithe. Just think about how, right now in your life, you can give of your treasure along with your time and talent to show your gratitude. It's not a transaction, it's a thank offering. And that's all God expects.